I Good morning.
God's mercies remain fresh today as well. Patience, is that a word that you would describe yourself, that you have patience? People pray for patience, don't they? And we in the world, we definitely can use more of patience. And while we pray for patience, do we live it? In other words, that we're not just paying lip service to that prayer for patience, but actually seeking to live patience. Thankfully, God is more than patient with us. And so his patience is our main focus for today, along with the focus on living patience ourselves. With those thoughts in mind, God bless us in our worship of him on this day that he has made. I direct your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as you have removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Please be seated. In bringing Samuel to holy baptism, you are observing the will of our Lord who instituted baptism, saying in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." We learn from the Word of God that since Adam's fall into sin, all people are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever, unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel then is also by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. But the Father of all mercy and grace has promised and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who has borne the sins of the whole world and redeemed and saved little children, no less than others, from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Thus, we can never sufficiently thank God that in baptism he has given us a means whereby he works in little children by his divine grace, turning their hearts to faith, cleansing them from their sins, and receiving them into his family. The simple act of baptism has such wonderful power because the Almighty God works in it through his word. It is the divine word which makes baptism, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul describes it in the Bible book of Titus. For this reason, Christ says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." It is good and right, therefore, that we should hear in the sight of God and these witnesses administer this sacrament in the fear of God and with due reverence and sincere devotion. Sam, we receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart, signifying that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Dear parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting baptism, not only commanded that children should be baptized, but also that they should be taught to observe everything which he has commanded us. I therefore encourage you to bring up Samuel in the way of the Lord, to recognize that it is your solemn and primary responsibility to instruct him diligently in the truths of God's saving word, and to this end make faithful use of the assistance offered by the church. It is also your solemn duty to encourage Samuel by your own word and example, to use God's word so that Samuel may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in his baptismal grace to the end of life. If this you are willing to do, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Samuel Andrew Reddick, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you rebirth by water and the Holy Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, protect and preserve you in all your ways, and strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. And to help remember and celebrate Samuel's baptism, receive this candle, which symbolizes Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and has through this baptism given Samuel the light of faith. A faith which is to light the way for others. Dear members of St. Mark's and witnesses, family of Samuel's baptism, Samuel has now, by holy baptism, become a member of Christ and of this congregation. In obedience to the will of our Lord who said, "Feed my lambs," it is our solemn obligation to assist these parents in every way possible in the spiritual training of this child, that he may be brought up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. If this you are willing to do, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, and I ask God to help me.
We pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for graciously preserving and extending your church, and that you have granted Samuel the new birth and holy baptism, and made him a member of your dear Son, our Lord, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We pray that you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, he may be faithfully brought up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we continue to celebrate this baptism with the singing of hymn 297 as printed. On this Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Jonah, pointing out that God is more than patient and compassionate and merciful to us. An example of this here. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reminder again that it is not what we or others bring to God, but rather what God brings to us that matters. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And we join together. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Our reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, Jesus reminds us that he is the one who does the calling and so also does the equipping of us to share his gospel. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace, thankfully, are ours in great abundance from God our Father, and such is evident through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to these words from the book of Jonah. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed, by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is evidence of the fact that God is more than patient and compassionate and merciful toward us. Is your nickname quick to fly off the handle? If that is your nickname, quick to fly off the handle, is that meant to be a compliment? Patience is a virtue that not many of us have or practice as we ought. And as noted earlier, that's why people are led to pray for patience. Think of all the unnecessary stress that we bring upon our own lives and the lives of those around us because we do not practice patience and we're quick to fly off the handle over the slightest infraction. Along with patience comes the word compassion. Compassionate. Thankfully, God is both patient and compassionate. And that is to be our response, dear friends, to the fact that God is both patient and compassionate. We are to thank God for his compassion and all then that comes with that compassion, including his patience. So first of all, today, as we reflect on the words of Jonah before us today, let us thank God for his compassion evident in his action. His action which calls people to repentance. And that's what the Lord God had called and equipped Jonah to do. To go and call the people of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, to repentance. Well, you're familiar, at least most of us, if not all of us, with the story of Jonah, that account of how he was called by God and did not want to go because why, Lord, do you want to call these wicked people who hurt other people to repentance? And why am I the one who's to go? And so he tried to run away, right? But he didn't get very far. Oh, he tried, but then the Lord in dramatic fashion taught him a lesson, not just him, but all of us who become familiar with that account. And it's proven that someone could be swallowed by a great fish and survive. But also, let us not forget who was dealing that great fish to swallow Jonah, the Lord himself, and all things are possible with him. Well, after that, God definitely got Jonah's attention. And so Jonah, a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. So Jonah obeyed. He went. And we are told that it took 3 days for Jonah to get through the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, a great city, it was one of importance. It was also one of size. Population figures go from anywhere from 120,000 to 250,000 people. Its radius in circumference was about 8 miles. But then, okay, if you take Sacramento and then you add Folsom and Citrus Heights and Rancho Cordova and so forth, now Nineveh, they say, was more like 60 miles in radius, explaining why it could take 3 days. Plus, he didn't have the communication tools that we have today to send messages quickly. And then you get caught up in conversation, so it's pretty fair to say it took Jonah those 3 days to get that message out. And the people heard that message. Time was well spent. because we are told that by the Spirit's doing, they were led to repentance. Even the king himself believed the message from God. And there's evidence that he's recognizing the God, the true God, and is moved to repentance and encourages, orders the people to show that they are repentant by dressing up in sackcloth and ashes. God is truly compassionate and patient. Not just with the people of Nineveh, not just with Jonah. His compassion is still evident in action, and he continues to call people to repentance today, including you and me. Even we, who through baptism at infancy have grown up in the Christian faith, have a need for that call to repentance. Because we are not perfect, even though the one we believe in by the grace of God is perfect. And while we do not like to admit our shortcomings, for example, the times we are not very patient. If you are a parent, have you practiced perfect patience with your children? And if you're a grandparent, are you still practicing patience with your children and grandchildren? And even if you don't have children, are you practicing patience with your coworkers and your family members and with society? I mean, I sit at a red light and there's no car around and I'm not very patient going, we live in the 21st century, a state of great technology, and this ghost car has the green light for 2 minutes? I am not very patient. What other things cause us to lose our patience? And not just patience, but compassion, which is connected to patience. How often then, if we're losing our patience, we are not compassionate toward people? And not trying to put ourselves in their shoes and thinking, well, before I fly off the handle and make some accusations about that person, maybe I should take a step back and realize what their circumstances are. Yeah, we need to be called to repentance as well. It's a healthy thing. And as we reflect then on our own need for patience, thankfully God remains compassionate and patient, as evident in his actions, not just of calling us to repentance, but also in his action which brought about forgiveness. God was patient then, and he is patient now. He was patient with Jonah. He was patient with Nineveh. He's patient with us. He's patient with the people of this world. He does not treat us as we deserve. That's mercy. That's patience. That's compassion that we are to thank God for. And so out of his undeserved mercy, his undeserved love, he sent his Son to be our Savior. He is our Epiphany, Lord. And so through the season of Epiphany, as we've highlighted before, we see evidence that Jesus is the one who was promised to be that Savior, to save us from ourselves so that we could have a salvation to secure us in a relationship with God now and forever in heaven. And how did Jesus secure that relationship that we could have with God? A relationship of repentance? A relationship of forgiveness? Well, by giving up his own life on the cross, where he took all our impatient moments, all our lack of compassion moments, all of our sins to the cross and endured such a weight so that you could be set free from that weight. And while we sin again and again and again in our thoughts, words, and deeds, the Lord directs us by the Spirit through the Word back to that cross and says, that's forgiven. That guilt is lifted off again. Go now and live that life of patience and compassion, guilt-free. Jesus is the only one who can offer that. People are searching and reading books and reading articles and this and that, trying to find that same peace which only Jesus can give. Thus, God's action of repentance and forgiveness to be proclaimed through us. who have been called to know about God's compassion and patience, won for us through the saving merits of Jesus Christ. Who better to declare to the world the antidote, the solution for sin and death and everlasting condemnation than we who have received that same gift? The Lord reminds us then, as he points out his compassion to us, that we are the ones equipped to do it. He equipped Jonah, as we said, he called him twice for this task. And Jonah went. As we read on in Jonah wasn't all that appreciative of the fact that the people in Nineveh did repent and that God relented on giving them the destruction he had threatened at that time. That would come later on because the people in Nineveh would fall again. But it wasn't Jonah's call. It was God's call. Sometimes do we get that way too? When we know the Lord has called us to go and preach a message of repentance and they really don't deserve it from our point of view. And then they do repent. And then we kind of, oh, Lord, why did you relent and not giving them what they think we deserve? So we can appreciate where Jonah's coming from. We've been there, and at times we go back there. But yet the Lord still used him, as the Lord still uses us. Jonah was not to come up with his own message, nor are we to come up with our own message of what to repent from and the message of forgiveness. God gives us that. He defines what sin is, not we. And so he encourages us to be in his word, to know what that sin is that he speaks against in our thoughts and in our words and our actions. Because we human beings, well, we can try to justify our sins, but God truly calls it out, what is sin? And so we need to know what his word says about that. And also then, that his message of forgiveness is free and clear. It's not, well, you need to do something. You need to earn my forgiveness. No, it's already been earned for us through Jesus. And so we are equipped. We are called to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness. In fact, we heard and we read parts of that in 2 Corinthians, right? We are Christ's ambassadors. We are not coming up with the message ourselves. We are not representing ourselves. We're representing him and his message. And the message is, be reconciled to God. And we want to proclaim that message of repentance and forgiveness because the love of Christ compels us. He who died for us and rose again compels us, moves us to give thanks to God for his compassion toward us and to share it with others. And think about all the positions that God puts us in to proclaim a message of repentance and forgiveness. And not just proclaim it, but also to live it. How important it is for us to set the example of living a life of repentance, and together with that, then a life of compassion and patience. And not just say to others, you need to be more patient, while not being patient ourselves. It's kind of like in the book of James when he says, don't just look in the mirror and walk away and forget what you saw. Rather, when you look in that mirror, you see what you see, and when you walk away, remember what you see. Now, as we strive to put God's patience and compassion, a life of repentance into practice, what can we expect? We can expect to slide back time and time again, right? Martin Luther emphasized, when it comes to baptism, the reminder of baptism, that we need to daily drown that old Adam of ours by contrition and repentance. And what also happens daily? God's mercies are renewed each and every day as well. So we are called and equipped to live a life of repentance, which includes living patience and compassion. Now, sometimes we're not always going to be the most eager to do that. And thankfully, God can still work through our lack of proper motivation. But oftentimes, when even though reluctantly, we go and do something, maybe it's come to church, maybe it's do the chores at home, whatever it might be, we go to work. More often than not, we end up getting there and leaving with, I'm glad I did that. Thankfully, God can use us even though our motives are not always pure. But when the motives are pure, how much better it will be to His glory and for us. God help us then, unlike Jonah, have a desire to reach the lost at all costs. And be careful not to try to read the heart to see if they are deserving of it or not, because if people read our heart, would we be deserving of it? And so God, move us then to seek those opportunities and to open our eyes to the opportunities directly to call people to repentance in love and assure them of forgiveness upon repentance and to set the example for them. But not just directly, but also indirectly as we support those who go in the name of Jesus on our behalf to proclaim messages of repentance and forgiveness throughout the world. They need our prayers. They need our support. There's never not been a time we don't need this message about God's compassion and all that goes with it, that message of repentance, that message of forgiveness. God held off on destroying Nineveh, showing that He is true to His desire, that He wants all people to come to a knowledge of His truth and be saved, that He is true to His word. But He also reminds us not to test His patience and His compassion, as too many are in the habit of doing. And so the encouragement then for us today and every day is to keep on speaking God's word of truth and then thanking God for His truth and His compassion and patience toward us so that we in turn can show that to others. And they in turn could thank God for His compassion toward them. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We join in the confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise You for reconciling us to Yourself through the sufferings and death of Your dear Son. Through Him, we have confidence to enter into Your presence and to bring You our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of Your goodness, grant us a rich measure of Your Spirit. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of Your mercy, that they may turn to You, the only God, and find salvation in You.
Strengthen our faith so that we can forgive those who wrong us,
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live who gives us all. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. And Lord, be with the Carol Johnson family as they mourn her passing from this life. Continue to remind them of the work your Son has done on the cross, that all people might be saved through faith in him, and then to find peace in the fact you led Carol to confess faith in Jesus. Help them be your witnesses during this time of sorrow. Be their source of true and lasting rest to turn to in their time of need. Hear us for Jesus' sake, and hear us as we also now bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Definitely a fitting prayer to end with. Let them see Jesus through our words and actions. Just to highlight a further opportunity to grow in God's Word and in our fellowship with one another, Bible study taking place here starting at 9:30. We're looking at Paul's prison letters. The first one we're looking at is the book of Philippians. Handouts are by the bulletins, or you can also find it online. Sunday school starts singing in the chapel at 9:15. Another reminder, it's coming up again next week, the chili cook-off. If you're bringing a recipe, great. Kind of hard to tell exactly how many people, 40 to 50 people at least for sure, but there might be more. So we're also now trying to track the attendance. So there's a sign-up sheet under the TV on the counter in the lobby if you want to sign up. If you don't sign up, you're still welcome to come, but just to kind of track a little bit. We've kind of noticed that guests on our campus through Smibble, which is great, they're seeing the interest in the chili cook-off, and they're going, that's a great idea, I think we should go. So then you got thinking, well, we may need to plan for more chili. So you can always freeze chili, so bring it on. Here we go, let's have fun next Sunday after the late service. Arnold Detmer's Victory Memorial Service will be held here at church on February 3rd at 11 a.m. We keep Linda and her family in our prayers. Plans for Carol Johnson's victory service have not been discussed yet. On February 4th at 9:30, before Bible study session, we'll be having a call meeting. That's what our congregation leaders have decided to put to the congregation. This is to replace Hannah Ripley, our junior K kindergarten teacher, who has accepted the call, and at the end of the school year will be transitioning to South Dakota. So we are hoping to get a call out. This is going to be You know, some patience will be called for as we extend this call. This is one of the harder positions to fill in our church body because there's such a high demand for that age group. But the Lord, through whom all things are possible, will provide in his time. So we hope to get a few calls in before calling season stops. Lord willing, we'll get the first one accepted. And then we'll discuss plans from there with assignments and so forth. But just a heads up, February 4th at 9:30, we'll be having a call meeting and share more duties related to that call. And then on the 11th, we plan to have our annual congregation meeting, and we're connecting that with our celebration of ministry emphasis Sunday. And so again, February 11th at 9:30, we'll have our annual meeting, and then we'll continue on with our celebration of ministry focus. That's a great opportunity for us to appreciate what God is doing for us here at St. Mark's. And just see the weekly news for the things that are going on at church and school during the week and the months. God bless you as you continue to let people see Jesus through you. Thanks.